sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
Welcome to the show. This week we will review The First Omen. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Quarter. We're watching Chucky Season 2, Episode 3, Hail Mary.
So the kids decide to brainwash the Chucky doll they caught.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, good idea. There's something problematic about this, but good idea. I think, the more I think about each of these episodes and, like, the storylines, it's like Dom Mancini's really talking about, like, sexuality and what people do to, like, you know, gender conforming and stuff like that, because Dom Mancini is also
openly gay.
Famously gay, yeah.
Yes.
And I felt like that was kind of the through line of this. It's like forcing somebody to be something they're not so they can get something out of them.
Exactly, yeah. Which kind of almost feels like what this... that's a great point. What this incarnate Lord is about anyways. That it was trying to conform you to their kind of way of thinking and stuff. So, excellent point that... To kind of pick up where that was, that they basically like this Chucky is taking pictures, and Jake finds out that he's basically doing he's doing reconnaissance. Did I say that right?
He's like a scout. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
The joke line where I think this Chucky is just a scout. He's not. His mission is not to kill.
Yeah.
And our new girl, what's her name? Nadine was like, oh, like a Boy Scout? Like, no, more like a scout for the army. She's like, oh. And then they decide to brainwash him, and then he becomes a lovable, cuddly guy.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. And he's been changed. He's actually, the brainwashing works.
which
I thought was very funny.
Kind of funny. They do the whole Clockwork Orange.
Mm-hmm. Peel the eyes,
when they brainwash him.
This one was also kind of like Lexi focused, right? Like we're kind of I wouldn't say like getting, we're kind of just reinforcing some of her things that have going on with her since the previous season. We learned that she is still really hurt that Junior died.
Yes.
So she's kind of been acting out, which just kind of explains the way she's behaving, where she's had guys over. She's basically, she's doing drugs. She's on a medication. So,
and it's surprising that she gets triggered to emotionally break because of the reform Chucky, who was just trying to be sweet about the whole thing, which I thought was really funny. He's just like, oh... He's asking all these questions like, oh, are you happy? Blah, blah, blah. Do you have a boyfriend?
Like a kid, right? Like he's almost resorting back to like a younger kid who maybe asks too many questions, you know, like in a way that reveals how you're really feeling about things. That makes sense.
Which I guess is trying to establish that all these Chuckies have different personality or starting to have different personalities.
Yeah.
Because they've established that Charles Ray, what's his name? Charles Lee Ray first kill was when he was basically a toddler and stabbed his mother to death.
Mm-hmm.
So he's always had these horrible things, but maybe there's some good parts of him still. I don't know. I'm not sure what he's trying to say. But I did like what this was. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, and I like that They kind of they pour on a lot of the sympathy on for Lexi, because it seems like Jake and Devin kind of have each other, and she doesn't really have anybody.
Yeah,
she's friends with them, but she's kind of like doesn't have a confidant or like somebody to rely on, and that's kind of where what's her face Nadine kind of is gonna seems to be filling that hole for now. Even though she's super Nadine weird, right? She's like kind of
ratted her out to the priest in the confessional the next day, but yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah. She's like she's an interesting character because like she, I don't know if they're gonna pay this off or it's just a coincidence or it's just casting, you know. But like she's like she looks like Chucky. She looks like a almost a. She has bright red hair and silly glasses, and she looks kind of dorky and stuff. And so she almost looks like a Chucky doll, which I don't know. Like, did you get that sense? Because I feel like maybe they're going to pay that off, or that was done a coincidence, or because of the type of character she is. I don't know.
I don't know. There's like a couple of. Like, how I felt like the detective was going to play a bigger part, but then he got killed at the end of that episode.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, which we should bring up that, yeah, this Trevor character looks like he's really gonna, he's raring up to be a big foil for Lexi because he's confronting her left and right about her drug problems.
Yeah, and she's like bullying her the way Lexi did in the first season, but he's kind of having like a one-upsmanship with her and he's kind of getting the better of her.
Like which he's trying to blackmail her at one point.
Yeah.
And then she out loud says, like, no, Trevor, I don't know where you can get condoms, and it gets him in trouble. And she's like, if it makes you feel any better, my situation cannot get any worse.
Yeah. And I know we're jumping around, but, like, Trevor, at the end of this episode, close to the end of this episode, is dead. He what? Died.
No, he's going to be the through line foil.
Yeah, this is actually why one of the reasons why I really love the show, because you like it's unexpected. Did not see this character dying, at least not yet, right? I thought maybe down the line he could die, or like maybe he becomes an ally for Chucky down the line, you know. But nope, he's dead.
Nope. Like I said last episode, it was a real punch to the gut when he died.
Yeah.
Because we got introduced to a clearly juiced Chucky because his voice is a little bit deeper.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
He punches a hole straight into his abdomen, like.
Yeah, that was so. I guess what they're doing is trying to distinguish the Chuckies now, right? I think we saw a little bit of that in the first episode of the season where they had the bald Chucky, right?
Like that's right.
Yeah. They're trying to like give them all unique personalities, which I think is a great idea. So it's not just all like, oh, it's a killer doll. We're not going to like, you know, I don't know yet because we haven't seen the season, but the Chucky they just brainwashed could be actually a good Chucky to help him this season. Or,
well, I don't know. I guess they didn't show him dying, but it seems like a juiced Chucky at the end says, and I don't usually eat cream puffs, but it's a cheat day. And he's like, closes the door like he's about to kill the reformed Chucky.
The reformed Chucky, yeah. So That was kind of like where the episode ended and stuff. So really cool ending. I'm really enjoying Devin Sawa's Father Bryce as well. I think he's like doing a great job. He's kind of being more of a foil this episode, which was, I think, kind of hinted at.
I'm starting to think because I know it was supposed to be like a throwaway joke that Jake's like, he reminds me of my dad.
That's right.
Do you think Chucky possessed one of the dead bodies?
Oh, man. I don't know. I'm bad with the lore. I don't. So, that's what I mean is I try not to think about the lore. It's too much for me.
Yeah.
Mick very well could be because I felt like last season, Junior's dad, the last brother that died.
Yeah.
Felt. The way Chucky worded something made it seem like he needed him to die so his soul could move on or some shit, like, which I thought placed importance on him, you know, why he wanted Junior to kill him, but it ended up not being much of anything.
Yeah.
You know what scene I'm talking about? Like,
yeah, I don't know. Yeah, there's a lot of things that I feel like are maybe my payoff later. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I was just, yeah, that was like one of the things they didn't resolve that I found a little convoluted at the time. So, whether or not Father Bryce is somehow tied to Chucky lore, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I kind of like the way Demon Saw was kind of like playing this character.
Yeah.
He's very, the sort of the antagonist for the kids.
Yeah, what else happened? Oh, Devin's starting to have a bit of a break, right? Because he's the only person that hasn't killed anybody, so he...
Yeah.
Feel like he's feeling inadequate.
Yeah.
I guess Trevor's the only guy that gets killed in this episode, right?
I believe, yes. I did want to know that one of the sisters looks like she could be an ally as well.
Oh yeah,
Sister Catherine. She's one of the teachers. Yeah. Kind of, they kind of are hinting that.
One. Yeah. Sorry.
What? I was gonna say, I think they're hinting at that she knows that Jake and Devin are gay, and possibly maybe she is too. But she's there.
Oh, like 100%. Yeah. No, yeah. I don't think they're hinting at it. I think they're telling you.
Slamming it home with a hammer to your face.
Because there's even punch that conversation the with the priest, Devin Sawa, is going like, "You knew about them, didn't you?" And she's like, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah.
And I think that's the only reason when the doll comes back, I think Devasawa's character is softening up because he understands a little bit, I guess. Because he tells Devin, like, "All right, you learned your lesson, get out of here." He's like, "What, really?" He's like, "Yeah, just get out of here. It's whatever." But it's also suggesting that the doll, I don't know why Reformed Chucky went back to that office.
Yes, they weren't clear about that. Mm-hmm. It almost... maybe to help Jake, to help the team or something. Yeah, but I don't know. They didn't explicitly say the doll was just found there as Father Bryce wanted him to return the doll. And of course, he doesn't believe that, you know, the doll can walk around and stuff. It's this Chucky character. So he thinks Jake took him. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he appeared on the table. And so like that kind of ends Devin's punishment and stuff.
And then when Juice Chucky, when you finally get a reveal of what Juice Chucky looks like, he's got like his shirt kind of slightly open. He kind of looks like the cover of Ash Williams and Army of Darkness a little bit. He's got like his shirt torn open kind of, and he's ripped doll abs and doll pecs. And his voice is like just like a little bit lower.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was crazy. It was funny. I didn't even know what I was like looking at when they first revealed him on screen. I'm like, what's going on? Is this the brainwash Chucky? They kind of like fake it out for a sec that like maybe it's the brainwash one, but it isn't. It's a new Chucky, different Chucky,
which is a problem, right? Because so far they've been able to like fight off Chucky because it's just a doll, but this one, like we said, punched a hole in Trevor's abdomen.
Like this Chucky
the back, like
could have pushed Junior's mom out that window.
Legitimately push him. Yeah, that's right.
And maybe put a hole through her stomach in the process while pushing her. So, yeah. But yeah, it kind of seems. I think that's kind of was the majority of it.
Which it was a very fun episode. It's just I can't think of anything really important that happened other than that.
Other than we've described, yeah, because it ends on the what is it? The brainwashed Chucky. Be confronted by the muscle bound Chucky.
Oh shit, the priest that's a confessional priest is killed.
Oh, that's right, Mr. O'Malley.
Because Nadine's confessing her, you know, whatever. Yeah. And
Nadine has that, she probably mentioned that Nadine has that thing where she like, she goes to confession too much. She says like way too much. Mm-hmm. So, to the point of like the father or whatever being annoyed with her, like, oh, I gotta do confession with her and stuff. Yeah. Really funny.
And she's also like just flat out telling some truths she should have been keeping to herself, which is why I guess like he had to die, because she's like admitting that Lexi's got a drug problem and she kind of has a crush on Lexi. And
yeah,
and then yeah, and then I think it's Juice Chucky that's like, oh, I need 500 Hail Marys, and she's like, that seems a little steep, but okay.
Oh yeah, and she's kind of like repeating them to herself through the end majority of the episode or whatever. Super funny. All right, good episode. we'll continue on with it. You want to move over to our main review of The First Omen. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please. For The First Omen, coming in at number 3. This isn't a nun film.
By nun, you mean the...
the noon.
The fucking... what is it? It's part of the Conjuring universe. Expanded universe, yeah. Or whatever. Fuck. Yeah.
Coming in at number 2 for The First Omen, American finds Roman culture shocking. And coming in at number 1 for The First Omen, sisters find themselves knocked up.
I also would have accepted Sister Act 3. Not a comedy.
Adam McKay's Nuns Knocked Up.
Nuns Knocked Up. Alrighty.
So for a 5-day baby. I don't know what the timeline was for.
Yeah, that baby got popped out pretty quick. The First Omen, which I will say, did not know this was a prequel to The Omen. So that's good to know. Did not know that. Was putting it together as the movie was going on. I'm like, wait, there's like things happening that are like mirroring The Omen.
Yeah.
You know, in more ways than one.
First one, yeah.
This is the fucking first one. Didn't catch that. So I got to ask you right off the top, like, are you an Omen fan?
I am. So I knew this was like a prequel, which is why the very last line of the movie, I was like, it's supposed to be like a big reveal, but if you've seen the movies, it's not a shocking thing. Like, I did like this cold open with what's his name from Game of Thrones and Last Action Hero and
Charles Dance. Amazing actor. A lot of really good actors in this, actually.
And then what's his face? The guy from The Witch.
Yep. He also, Ralph Ensign.
So when they're talking and they're kind of talking, where are they talking at the very beginning? Like a confessional, right?
Yes.
You know, it's one of those things. It's just like, I don't know why we've been dealing with a whole lot of nuns with Chucky and like,
it's true. Like
that happened, right? Yeah.
Oh.
They're talking in the confessional and I swear my brain automatically thought that, dude from The Witch was like a demon guy because his voice is so fucking low.
Oh yeah, he has an amazing voice. Yeah.
I was like, oh no, that's just the way he talks. It's that guy. It's the guy from The Witch.
Yep.
But that cold open was cool because he's asking Charles Dance all these questions and he's like, oh, I just want it to be over. He's like, for what to be over, Father? He's like, you'll see soon enough. And they mirror the same thing, right? Like the glass is shattering because they're trying to put up a window pane, but this time it's stained glass for a church, and it's all slow-mo. And Charles Dance is fine, it looks like.
Yeah.
His father, are you okay? And he's like, I'm fine. And he turns around and then dude from The Witch does the what do you call it, the cross prayer thing. It says Father, and he turns around and you see that he's got his head has been split completely open in the back. And Charles Dance just does this big smile with blood coming out, and then The First Omen. I was like, yeah, that's cool.
The First Omen. Burr, burr, burr. Okay. Yeah, that was really cool, too. And mirrors, if I recall it, mirrors, it's been forever. Like, I've seen all three. I'm actually a fan of them, specifically because, like, fucking Sam Neill. Yeah, Sam Neill took over on the second one, and there's a through line for the third one. And I remember really liking the end of the third one. It was like, oh, it really worked. That was really nice. I wasn't expecting it in that movie. Because everything leading up to it was very like B movie. And there's like a big, cool, interesting ending. So I am a fan of The Omen.
Speaking of these era movies, I got to say RIP to Donald Sutherland. What a fucking legend.
Oh, yeah. RIP to Donald Sutherland. Yeah.
That was hurtful news, even though he has had a good long life.
Yes. Yeah. That's true.
But yeah, this movie, was a lot of fun. Like, some of the scares, I'm like, I'm expecting this. And that's why I was like, this isn't a nun movie, because it was like straight from The Conjuring, whatever, the second one. The nun appearing out of nowhere thing happens. I like that our character's name is Margaret, but they call her Marguerite. <It's
our movie. laughs> Italian.
I will say, because I think we've established that I'm apparently mildly racist towards Caucasian people. I had a hard time differentiating all the nuns because, you know, they're all wearing habits and stuff.
Yes. There were at least two actresses that looked the same. I had a hard time distinguishing, yes.
But luckily her roommate, who's supposed to be like a wild woman, I guess, is the idea.
Yeah.
I guess she was wearing a bad habit.
Yeah.
You guys can take that one, watch the movie with a loved one, make that joke, you'll kill. But yeah, this whole movie is like, I wasn't expecting it to be this good.
Okay, yeah. I see what you mean.
It was a lot of fun. Like, it was never boring.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of keeps you a little confused but entertained.
Right.
You get another mirror image of somebody sacrificing themselves, saying it's all for you, but this time they set themselves on fire before they hang themselves.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's cool. And then we'll get into spoilers, but I did not see that coming.
Oh, okay.
Not at all. I had a different idea of what was going to happen. See that coming.
Yeah, I was kind of trying to figure out like how they were going to tie it to our main character. So that I was in the same boat. I was like, oh, okay, yeah. Cool. That was interesting. And then they just quickly try to like make it make sense. Whatever it is. Which I thought was fun.
It made total sense. It was like, oh fuck. Like, a character starts doing something and I was like, well, we'll talk about it then. But yeah, anyway.
I know exactly the moment you're talking about. That was fucking badass. Yeah.
Because I had a thought it was like somebody else we'd been following. I was like, oh, that makes sense. And I was like, oh shit. The gore in this was pretty cool too.
Yeah, it was.
But where do we start with this? I know we really haven't talked about what happened. It's just some nun from America is coming to Rome to be a part of the Roman Catholic Church. Bill Nighy is the head of this.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of red herrings. Like, there's what do they call it? One of the nuns who has been touched, right? That's like the nice way of saying is like mental instability.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the other girl whom we are pretty aware is the woman that we're supposed to follow, the one that they keep locked up in the room.
Right. Seems like the candidate for what's going on.
Which I think it's established that little girl is supposed to be like the next father or whatever, right?
Yeah, because I feel like they what they did with this one is...
They established that in the cold open, like that whole conversation.
Yeah, about the child.
Yeah, about the child,
Because like, since this is a prequel to The Omen, and you know, the whole point is that like we got to get to Damien's birth, right? That's how the first Omen starts. So this is kind of like a prequel to it, how that kind of leads into it. Though I did enjoy, that's actually kind of why this movie, I think, is like up and down, because we kind of know where the story is going. We know how this movie's going to end. We got to get to Damien's birth. So like, there's not a lot of stakes, emotional, dramatic stakes for these characters, right? Because like, we know how this movie's going to end.
Yeah.
There's an ending in mind, right? So... But I did like that they twist some of the narrative, right? Because there's two instances where they changed how the other movies will play out.
Yes.
There's at least two things that I know that they've changed so that it's a little different take. It's not just a verbatim story.
It's also, they just cleverly wove this storyline because I did not see that coming.
Right. Yeah.
Blew my mind.
And they have some nice moments where like I think it's like they have really well like dramatic scary moments in this movie, and they also have some stuff that I don't think I really... I think the movie's too long. I think that's... Had this been like maybe like 10, 15 minutes shorter, I think it would have been the perfect length. 2 hours, I felt like, was just a little too long.
You know, I was thinking that too, but I think maybe it's too long for like a sitting at home movie. Like if you're in theaters, it probably would have been more dramatic. Like the whole... It would have felt more theatrical.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, because the way... It almost feels like there's... Like... two endings,
mm-hmm.
right? Because then there's like a epilogue of sorts.
Yeah, kind of like, yes,
Lord of the Rings.
We literally have to get to the beginning of the Omen.
Yeah,
without spoiling, exactly. We have to get to the very beginning of the Omen. That's kind of like where we're leading towards.
I do want to quickly talk about my favorite death. I think is Margaret's sort of roommate who goes out at night all the time and clubs and parties because they're not nuns yet, so she feels like it's fine.
Right.
Convinces her to go, and she goes and she meets some guy and she really hits it off with this guy, and then it's like a really fun like dance thing, and then like blackout. And I was like, oh shit. And the whole time I was like, oh man, she got like raped or something. She doesn't remember what happened. But according to her roommate, like, no, you came home, but you did have a lot of fun. And then she feels really bad about herself and, you know, trying to really establish her faith.
Right.
And then later when she thinks that she might be going insane because she's seeing all these things and she's convinced that, you know, they're trying to make her out to be like she's mentally unstable now, the church is, right? Because she keeps freaking out and seeing things. There's also a war going on, which I don't think is all that important. But
well, I think it is. Like, you mean like the, it kind of ties to the like early part of the movie. Why? I think they're trying to tie that part of Italian history to what's going on. Why they're making the choices they're making to get to the thing that happens at the end.
Oh yeah, okay.
That's why that's kind of there. Even though it is, from what I understand, historically accurate, there was a lot of like rebelling like that. Yeah.
So yeah, by that point the church is trying to tell her like, hey, you're not well because you keep seeing these things. Like, she stumbled on the girl that we're convinced is going to be the one to give birth to the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
And as she's seeing this woman give birth, it looks like a like demon hands are coming out of her like vagina.
Yeah.
And
that's just the technical name, guys. We're not being disgusting. It's literally the technical name, medical name of that thing.
Yeah, they're her vagina. So those pussy lips went wide open.
Or we could just call
it... Medical name. No, I'm just kidding.
What would you rather us call it? Yoo-hoo, muff, or... would you like it so just...
So like her coochie-woochie was spreading wide open because these demon hands were coming out. And I was like, this is the true definition of getting fisted, medical term. So she passes out, and then that's when they're kind of telling her like, hey, you're just not doing good. We're a little, we're looking at you. And she's like, fuck. She's freaking out.
Yeah.
That's when the guy from The Witch comes over and says like, hey, there's some shady shit going on. You need to go find these files. And I was like, what's going on? What's happening in this movie now? She needs to find files that I didn't know were a thing.
Yeah.
And she finds the files.
Yes.
And my dumbass, because I don't know the language, I thought that she was looking at a bunch of files of the same person at different ages. And then I was like, why are there so many repeat age folders? Oh, no, I'm an idiot. These are just like, it's not a name. I just don't know.
There's a bunch of kids being born.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then she gets apprehended by the church, but luckily this dude that I only remember him being the guy that picked her up from the airport is helping the guy from The Witch, the guy with the low voice.
And well, was it Bill Nighy picks her up? He's just sort of like the guy who has the information about shady things going on there at the...
Oh yeah. Well, I was going to say Bill Nighy was there, but this other guy, the guy that helps take her out of the church, was with him, I think, was the guy that drove her.
Oh, the other guy, the younger priest, right?
Yeah, he's like, whatever he is. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And he's like, no, we believe you. So they run and they're trying to figure it out. But as she's trying to get out of the church earlier, she sees that guy, right? The guy that she met at the club.
Yeah.
And he looks like unhinged and he's sweaty. And she runs out of the cab and tries to stop him. Like, hey, dude. And he's like, hey, I didn't know. I'm sorry. I didn't know. And he keeps walking away. And she's like, didn't know what? What's wrong? What's going on? And he said, look for the mark. And then gets hit by a fucking truck. Mm-hmm. Pinned to a wall, which you could guess what happens next. He's like, I'm stuck. And she grabs him, and without looking down, everybody's just started gasping and then screaming, and it's just like his guts are coming out because he's half a person now.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I was gonna say quickly that, like, I really like the fact that this movie is about pregnancy, right? About fertility of women. And I like that they made it like very gory. They didn't kind of pull their punches from even from the bit that I did read about, that they had it NC-17 because the birth scenes were like too graphic, so they had to scale back a lot of it so they can get I think it's PG-13 honestly, this movie.
Yeah, probably.
I can recall no, it's actually rated R. To get an R, they actually had to like cut a bunch of stuff out because and you could tell just from the bits that we did get in this movie that made it into this R movie that they are very well done gruesome scenes. Specifically the one you're talking about, but the hand that comes out of the vagina and stuff like that. Like, that was fucking terrifying. I was not expecting it. And
it was fucking weird.
Yeah, and it worked. I mean,
she
gets
attacked by that thing also when they're trying to run out of the building and she's seeing like a... I think the nun that set herself on fire, I'm assuming, is a person that's sitting next to the one child that, you know, has the mark.
Yeah. Or
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she's trying to run out, but she gets, like, you know, separated because of the war going on, or the rebellion. And she's getting felt up by, like, some fucking demon hands, and she's screaming, and then they're like, hey, you know, part of your responsibility is to make sure these kids are all right, not freak out. Like, it's a fucking...
Like, you're not even paying me. It's like, it's no insurance, no health plan here, guys. I've seen the straps and why you have kids. This fucking thing. It's disgusting.
But then that kind of leads on to the other priest, the one from that played the father in The Witch.
Right.
And the younger, I'm not sure what he is, and her trying to look the files over and over again to figure out what they're missing. And then she's the one that realizes some stuff.
Spoilers. What do you think of Nell Tiger Free? The lead in this.
I thought she was good.
Yeah. I like her because she was in... I became a fan of hers when she was in Servant. And she was really good in that. That's actually kind of like a M. Night Shyamalan show. Spooky and... She was very impressive on that show, and I think she's really impressive here. I really liked, actually, like Ralph Ensign too, Father Brennan.
Yeah.
Excellent actor.
Yeah, he was great. He was excellent. Again, like, I didn't understand half of what he said, kind of like also in The Witch. I didn't understand half of what he said because his voice is so low.
Yeah, and I literally thought the sister that who killed herself is, I thought for like when they introduced her, I was like, that's Mia Goth.
Because of her eyebrows, right?
Yeah,
I fucking pointed that out too. So, yeah.
And I kind of felt like, oh my god, Mia Goth's in this, but it wasn't. It's but I thought she was really good in her part as well.
Ishtar Curry Wilson.
Yes, she was really good too. Specific, and she didn't really like. She has one of those faces like she's a presence, right? Like she's kind of doesn't really say very much, but you know, if she's involved in a scene, that's going to be kind of like spooky or fucked up or something.
Because she was the one that like was touched, right? That was that saying they used back then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. And then, and she's the one who we mentioned is the one that plays out that scene similar to the first Omen, where she, instead of like hanging herself and sacrificing herself, she like burns herself alive.
Well, she still hangs herself. She just like...
Oh, that's right. She does. She's just on fire.
And then she hangs herself.
Yeah, that's right.
And then in a scary moment later, which I thought was fucking cool, our protagonist is like got locked in a room And she's freaking out. She's like, this isn't real. It's not real. It's not real. And then she hears, what's not real? And I was like, oh, shit. And then you see that nun or whatever that set herself on fire crawl out. And she's like completely burned, like talking to her.
That's right. Smiling at her.
Like she, yeah. It's not like our protagonist wakes up from this. If somebody opens a door, it's like, oh, my God. She's getting fucking mentally railed right now. medical terms.
Medical terms. Railed. Okay. And then I think we got to hit all the finer points. You just want to go into spoilers? I think we'll probably be able to talk about more freely.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Spoilers. Okay. All right. We're going to spoilers.
Wait! No. Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers. Hell of a fucking reveal to me.
Yeah.
I thought as they were going through, because in the files, she's like, we're just missing something. And the other two guys were about to give up. And she realizes that the photo that they've been holding of, like, this is the child. She's like, no, who's this? Like, that's the child. She's like, no, it isn't. And she's comparing the photos. And there's, like, a very minor detail. It's like, it's not the same one. Mm-hmm. And as she's going through the files, one of the files has an empty photo. She's like, oh, this. Which, by the way, the files have, like, all the children are deformed and look like horrific and like sort of monstrous that, and they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
And also they establish that the other girl that we thought was going to give birth to the Antichrist had a stillborn baby because Bill Nye, he's looking at it like, oh, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
As she's looking at it, she realizes like the mark was on top of the temple sort of. I was like, oh shit, her roommate's the other fucking, that's what I thought it was.
Right.
Until she runs to the fucking mirror and starts running her fingers through her skull. And I was like, oh snap. I was like, I had a real like gasp out loud moment. I was like, no way. That's cool.
Yeah.
She was the other child. I was like, oh shit.
She's literally looking at herself as a baby without knowing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just super cool. And they introduced the photo, Father Brennan manages the photos like this baby and stuff like that. They just have like a name in the back of it or whatever, something. And then we're looking for this child, thinking it's several candidates, right? Like there's the younger girl, but if that Margaret kind of gets close with, but she has her markings up on the roof of her mouth, which I thought was super cool, especially how it was revealed. And then the friend is also who I thought, but she just sort of gets indoctrinated into like this other side of the priest or sorry sisterhood type thing.
Yeah, she's wearing like an all white outfit, right?
Which led me to believe she's in that group or whatever. But it's revealed that yes, she's the baby. She's the one that is going to have Damien.
And she's also all of a sudden remembers what happens that night, right?
When
she blacks out, she automatically has like this huge smile. And they take her and they do the whole ritual. And then that's when I guess like you're supposed to assume the devil had sex with her.
Yeah.
Which they also established that all of these women that have the mark are already the child of the devil. So they think the only way they can get a boy, because they can never get a boy, is if they have the devil have sex with one of his daughters. And these mm-hmm. are, you know, she's a, aside from the other girl that had the stillborn baby, they're the only two that came out okay.
Yeah, and this is where, like, I was mentioning, like, there's two changes, right? Like, that that he has a twin sister, right? That Damien has a twin sister, which kind of makes sense if you're watching the movies, because there was a fourth Omen movie with a girl that wasn't his sister, but was tangentially related to Damien in some way, was, like, the new Antichrist. Not a very good movie. We don't need to watch it. The three Omen movies are fine on their own. It's a complete trilogy. You know, varying degrees of okay, but the fourth one's terrible. But it's kind of, to me, it kind of ties back this first Omen's kind of reusing that same idea again about there being a female Antichrist, kind of like in waiting,
which was also like a big reveal, I would say, right? That was like a
yes,
because they're running away from them. You find out that the entire fucking church is involved.
Yeah, and that's kind of like the second part that's twisted a little bit, is that the church is actually involved. There's a section of the church that believes that it is losing its hold in society or its relevance or importance. And they think that if they bring the Antichrist, there's going to be this renowned, like, everybody's going to return back to the church, which is why these characters are trying to birth the Antichrist or Damien.
Right, yeah.
Which is a total change from, like, the series and a different way of reasoning as to why that was going on and stuff, so.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. They, long story short, because there was a car accident, she's...
And then the best part of the movie, they do a whole, you know, fun homage to Possession.
Yeah, yeah.
Which she's
freaking out outside. And she's also getting progressively more pregnant.
Oh, yeah. She actually gets pregnant in that scene almost immediately. Yeah.
And they did talk about that in the cold open, that the birthing happened rather fast, that it was like,
yeah,
inhuman.
It's not a normal 9-month thing. It's like something that happens quite quick. And I just couldn't believe that they were doing the whole like possession thing. I was like, oh my God, they're literally doing the scene where, you know, the female character is like having a freak out in the subway.
Yeah.
Before she births the creature, which is almost looks played out almost the exact same way. You know what I mean? Which I thought was like, wow, that was a super cool reference and, you know, great courage to try to act something in that similar vein and stuff. So 10 out of 10. Yeah. that spoil my rating, but
and it's also because you know what's going to happen. It's just like she's stuck giving birth to this thing.
Yeah.
And she births like a huge sack. It's not like an actual bird.
Oh,
and
then, my God. Yeah.
And that's like two babies there. And it's, I thought it made me laugh. They're all eagerly awaiting Bill Nighy and everybody else. And this woman, like one of the nuns, goes up and grabs this. This is a healthy baby girl. No, she says, this one's a healthy baby girl. Like the wording should have been different. She says, this one's a healthy baby girl. Like, what about the other one? What about the other one? And I was like, and this one is not binary and she'll choose to be whatever it wants to be when it gets old. It's like, of course, that's a boy. Like, she's pretty much establishing, well, this one's a girl. What about the other one? Well, that one's a boy. And then they all start touching the boy.
I loved that they pull the sack out. And I thought this was the coolest thing that they, when it opens, the water splashes, but it's just the sound effect of it. Like, really, I thought it was really cool. I was like, oh my God, that's fucking badass. The way it spilled out. It was freaking cool.
I thought it was also really nice of them to sew her back up. Because
like, well, they're not monsters, John.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to sew you back up. And then I did like the whole, she's like, oh, let me hold the child, please. I'm its mother. Like, okay, we trust you.
I know, right? Yeah.
And she fucking kills Bill Nighy. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
But she can't kill the child. Who was the girl that helps her out? So they were just going to let her burn alive with the twin sister or her other child, the daughter. And then some other, like, little girl was kind of, like, listening in. And then when they all left, she ran in and helped her out.
Is that the girl she ends up leaving with and hiding?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the girl with the thing on the roof of her mouth. She has the 666.
Oh, she's the other child. I don't know why I couldn't.
She's the other child.
Catch that she was the same person.
I guess they were trying to set up the fact that like they were kind of the same, right? That because they have the same quote unquote father, right? So they were. That's probably why they became close. Why they liked each other, because they seemed drawn to each other and you understood each other. Because she was kind of like the weird one or whatever.
Well, there's got to be one.
There's got to be one. Yeah.
How did you feel about the reveal of like it looks like the devil's watching her run away?
Isn't he getting burned by the fire? Right? Is that kind of the
deal? I think he is a part of the fire. I don't think he's getting burned by the part of. I think he's just revealing himself.
Yeah. That scene was like. Well, I thought he was dying in the fire, so I was like, well, that's kind of like. Cool, because it's kind of like the father of all of this is dying or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So it kind of ties up that loose end that she gets to see it. It wasn't something she like imagined.
Yeah. I didn't catch that it was dying in the fire. I just thought it was revealing itself.
I could have sworn it was like screaming in pain or, you know, kind of like thing. Or, oh, so I just assumed.
She was screaming, yeah.
She was, yeah. She was also. So I don't know. That's kind of what I gathered from it.
I just don't see how fire could kill something like that, right?
I agree. What did you think was going on there?
I just thought it was a reveal of, like, she finally gets to see the thing that raped her and, like, or her father, right? I guess.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
I don't know. It felt like, I guess it's kind of cool. Maybe a little unnecessary, you know.
Yeah, I like that.
They need to see the whole thing, but, you know.
Up to this point, they kind of kept it a mystery, right? Because when she's being held down, so whatever, the thing could sleep with her, like, they cover her face. And they do, like, a cool POV of the face covered, and you see the monster, like covering over her and stuff. So I thought it was, like, that was super cool.
That was weird. I thought it was Leonardo DiCaprio, right? Because he doesn't like for his...
It's a monster. Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't like for his partners to look at him, and he puts on headphones so he doesn't have to hear him, apparently.
No, he just... Once they turn 26, he doesn't... They're monsters.
And then there is an epilogue, right? I thought that was the end of the movie, but then there's an epilogue where they're all living... The sisters and her daughter, the twin sister of Damien, are living out in a remote cabin somewhere. And Father Deep Voice comes up, and she pulls a gun to him because she's like Laurie Strode-ing it, and like, oh, I'm going with this shit now.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I wanted to let you be. I really didn't want to contact you, but they're looking for you, and you're not supposed to be alive. So they're going to come for you. I just want to let you know. And she just keeps cocking the gun, like, get the fuck out of here. She doesn't say anything. Mm-hmm. And right before he leaves, the very last line of the movie is, like, they gave it a name. Damien. And, it's supposed to be a big reveal, but I'm like, yeah, that's what the point of the movie is. I mean, cool, but don't make it seem like a shocking, like, last... I don't know.
Well, I kind of feel like they could go, like, two directions with this, right? They could either do The Omen again... Which they tried, which wasn't very successful. At one point, they remade The Omen.
I forgot about that one until my partner casually mentioned, like, oh, that one, The Omen with, I forgot, Julia Stiles, and somebody else was like,
yes, Julia Stiles. Oh, yeah, dude, that movie. Yeah.
I forgot that was a thing.
That movie was like, they literally just wanted, they only remade it just so they can do it on 666 because it was 2006. Yeah. So that's the only reason why they released it. Yes.
It was like almost a shot for shot, right? It was that era of shot for shot movies like Psycho with Vince Vaughn. And
I remember hating it. I remember thinking, like, wow, this movie's terrible. But yes, so they can, like, do a new Omen trilogy, right? Call it Damien, which is what I thought they could name it instead of calling it The Omen, right? Or they could do, like, they can follow these three characters and kind of do like a sideways sort of plot, follow along while Damien's kind of doing, while those other movies are going on, this movie's going on beside it.
Like, they're trying to find, like, they would need a high-powered priest to help them. Maybe somebody who's fallen from grace and he's kind of goofy, Italian.
He lives in Italy. Oh, my
lives
God.
Lives in Italy. Played by Russell Crowe. I don't know.
Yeah, they could.
I'm just for as goofy as that movie was, I just want every movie to tie into those movies now, because
they said 15 movies are gonna happen. There's 15 more exorcisms still to go that he has to solve, that he has to do. So that would be really the ultimate tie-in.
It's a Scooby-Doo and the 13 Ghosts, except it's a...
That would be like the big reveal of like Split, right? Where fucking Bruce Willis is eating in the diner and he has a poncho or something and he says his name, David Dunn. And it's actually a sequel to Unbreakable. So, yeah. Spoilers. Spoilers for Split, if you didn't know that. But yeah. No, great movie. Really cool ending. They did what they promised. They got literally up to when the baby was born and they switched the babies and the, you know, Gregory Peck as the Omen baby.
Yeah.
So kind of super cool about that. So Spielberg led us to that moment. But yeah. You have any other thoughts before we rate it?
No, excellent movie.
Okay, cool. Cool. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it?
Sexy bones.
Ooh, sexy bones.
don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give The First Omen 7.5 sexy spooky bones.
Yeah, I'm around about the same. I'm going to give it an 8. I'll give it an 8.
Yeah, I feel like I want to give it an 8. I think I should have seen it in theaters to truly appreciate it.
Same. Yeah.
I think I goofed there. Oh, well.
Cool. All right, guys, gals, not binary pals. Thank you for listening. And as always,
exo tu para tu stay spooky.